Reliable socioeconomic and political practices have jeopardized our society. In the face of these affairs, which have kept our society at the brink of collapse, information remains the deal breaker. Foundation Radio, in its strive to remain the voice of the voiceless, has embarked on the incisive investigative reporting and analysis to reshape our society and give it a moral face.
Exclusive interview with a U.S. ambassador to Cameroon, John Lamora, only on Foundation Radio FM 100, Bamenda, Cameroon. What is the position of the United States on the Anglophone crisis? What solutions are they proposing? Don't miss the interview, only on Foundation Radio, the voice of the voiceless.
Yes, Emmanuel Tamanje, Christopher John Lamora is a career member of the Senior Foreign Service, and he was nominated by President Joe Biden on April 19, 2021 as U.S. Ambassador to the Republic of Cameroon. The U.S. Senate confirmed him in this position on December 18, 2021, and he was sworn in on February 11, 2022. This means that Ambassador Lamora came to Cameroon about 5 years into the Anglophone crisis. This may also mean that before his coming, he may have had enough literature on the crisis and the back and forth positions of the belligerents involved. Some opinions have even suggested that one of his major assignments was to seek a peaceful solution to the differences between the minority English-speaking Cameroonians of the Northwest and Southwest regions and mainstream French-speaking Cameroon. But alas, it has taken Ambassador Christopher John Lamora 2 years to step foot in the Northwest region since he arrived in Cameroon. So, our first question is, why now, Mr. Ambassador?
So, I arrived in Cameroon in March of 2022. We're in January 24. So, indeed, it's been almost 2 years that I'm in country. It was very important that I come to the Northwest region, that I come to Bamenda. And yes, it has taken a little longer than perhaps I would like. But Cameroon is a big country. I have now been to 7 out of the 10 regions. There are others that I haven't yet gotten to. I haven't been to the Adamawa and I haven't been to the north. What is going on in the Northwest region and the Southwest region over the past 7 years and a few months is highly important. It's of great concern. It's a great priority for the U.S. government. But I don't think that rushing to the scene of Northwest would have accomplished anything. I needed to get smart, and we needed to be sure that the security situation allowed for me to come. And we felt that we had reached that point, and so I came as soon as I thought it was possible.
So what are you talking about?
So I guess I can use the term fact-finding. It's important to verify what is going on. It's important to see with your own eyes. It's important to talk directly with sources on the ground. I engage frequently with members of government, members of civil society, etc., in Yaoundé and elsewhere in the country. But nothing beats coming and talking to people here, and more importantly, listening to people here. So I've had meetings with government officials, I've had meetings with religious leaders, I've had meetings with representatives of civil society and the journalism community, and I'm learning a lot. I'm learning a lot about what the perspective is on the ground, what people in Bamenda and the surrounding area are feeling, and it will help me to continue to formulate and recommend to Washington U.S. policy vis-a-vis Northwest, Southwest, and Cameroon at large.
Sir, you've come, you've seen, you've heard. What is your evaluation of the situation as at this present moment?
So, I've only been in Bamenda. I've been in upstation and I was downtown part of the day yesterday. I am pleased that in the areas that I personally have seen, life seems to be going about their business. I think it's clear that people have found ways, at least in the areas that I have seen, to go on with their lives to the best extent possible. What I hope is that we will quickly come to a point where that is true for everybody in both the Northwest and Southwest regions. And the question for me then becomes, what can the United States do to help get to that day? And I come back around to finding out the truest information I can about what is happening here. Because if I am not well informed, then our policies will be not well informed. So that is kind of what I have
and
seen.
And you talked about U.S. policy, and the population is confused on the stance of the U.S. in relation to the ongoing 7-year crisis in the region. Can you clearly state the position of the United States?
Let me turn the question back to you for a moment to ask what you mean by the population is confused.
I'm saying that on the ground, for example, they say that the United States government says that the United States is harboring, in quotes, terrorists. The population feels that the United States is not giving enough support. The other camp feels that the U.S. is not giving enough support for their claims, given that they consider the U.S. a nation that stands for rights.
Well, the United States absolutely stands for rights, and we stand for peace. And we want both. We want there to be peace throughout all of Cameroon, and we want all Cameroonians to be able to enjoy the rights that they have as Cameroonian citizens. In terms of U.S. policy towards the Northwest and Southwest regions crisis, we have been very clear, and we have been unchangingly clear for over 7 years as regards the need for there to be a peaceful resolution. We have been very clear about that. In terms of people living in the United States who have fostered or financed or expressed support for violence, we have also been extremely clear about that. We have said from the beginning that it is unacceptable to use the United States as safe haven to engage in promotion of violence. Now, that said, just as Cameroonians have rights that they exercise, so do people living in the United States. And we cannot simply go and arrest someone for saying something. Our law does not allow us to do that. You voice your opinion and you get arrested. That does not happen. We cannot have that happen in the United States. But we have, and the U.S. Department of Justice, over the past 2.5 to 3 years, has arrested, charged, sentenced numerous people in the United States for engaging in activities that, contrary to U.S. law, have fed the violence here in Cameroon. And our record on that is clear, and we can share specifics if you would like them. But this has involved people who have been involved in financing, in extortion, in arms trading, and contributing negatively to the insecurity in Cameroon. It is my hope that we will be able to continue in that vein, but that is what we have done so far.
I'm a common man, eh? So my questions usually come from what the people feel there. The truth is that the population trusts and believes in the position that the United States always take. Now, are you talking to two parties?
I don't understand the question.
Are you talking to both the government and the separatists?
I'm not going to get into who I'm talking to. Our position is clear as regards what we want the outcome to be. We want the outcome to be peace and the ability of the people of Northwest and Southwest to return to the lives they had prior to the crisis.
So, Mr. Ambassador, you're assuring the population of the Northwest region that the United States government is very much involved to see that peace returns to the region.
We have engaged constantly, continuously, unwavering for years in trying to find a peaceful resolution to the crisis.
You just mentioned that the United States stands for a peaceful resolution of the crisis in the two English-speaking regions. How are you doing this when it comes to the both parties sitting and negotiating?
So we have encouraged the government, we have encouraged everyone to continue talking. I know that there are concerns sometimes about the use of certain words. If you say we want to dialogue, some people will say we had the Grand National Dialogue and we are pursuing that. I am not taking a side one way or the other, but continued communication is critical.
Mr. Ambassador, the government of Cameroon, for this time being, have engaged in the reconstruction of the northwest and the southwest, and because you might find peace here where you are, but when you get to the hinterlands, that is where the destruction and the loss of lives have been recorded for years, 7 years going. What is the U.S. position on this presidential plan to reconstruct even during this war period? Because the government argues that war can be going on, but reconstruction of getting people to their normal lives should continue.
There is no question that the destruction of infrastructure, of roads, schools, hospitals, houses, villages, never ought to have happened, and that in order for life to return back to normal, those things need to be rebuilt or rehabilitated. The question of timing, the government has made clear that in zones where it is permissive, they want to continue and they want to advocate for redevelopment even now. We've looked very carefully at the evolution of what many people refer to as green, yellow, and red zones. You want to be sure that if you are going to do major development projects, that it's going to really have a beneficial effect on the people where they are, and that it will be sustainable. That you want to make sure that if you build a certain thing in a certain location today, that it will not be destroyed tomorrow. And that is a very difficult decision on how to sequence that and where. I do not envy the people who have to make those decisions, whether they are from the government or they are local population, about when to do what, where. But in the long term, there's no question we want to help to rebuild what has been destroyed.
The core areas of U.S. interest in Cameroon, mm-hmm. What are your priorities? Priority areas of operation in U.S.-Cameroon relationship?
So our relationship with Cameroon is extremely broad-based. We are engaged in the promotion of security both in Cameroon and in the surrounding countries. And let me just say, we've worked very, very well with Cameroon, with the Cameroonian government, the Cameroonian security forces, on some of those security issues, like combating Boko Haram and ISIS in the far north and the Lake Chad area, and also maritime security in the Gulf of Guinea. So those are areas in security that we have done a lot of work. We also are involved very much in the humanitarian sphere through our many millions of dollars in health programming, supporting the government's effort and the country's effort at large against HIV and AIDS, tuberculosis, malaria, COVID-19 at its peak, all of these health concerns, building the healthcare infrastructure, training Cameroonian doctors. We've been doing a lot of that, as well as providing more immediate humanitarian support to refugees, internally displaced persons, helping address food security. So a lot in the humanitarian sphere. And then, of course, as is the case for the United States everywhere around the world, governance issues. talking to Cameroonians, talking to the Cameroonian government, talking to civil society, and saying, what is it that you want your country to look like in the future from a governance perspective, from a rights perspective, and walking in partnership to see how can we help Cameroon get where Cameroon wants to go.
Yeah, I'm touching on that. Bernard, he mentions that one of the key areas is human rights, democracy. The U.S. government talks a lot about around this. So when you look at the trend in Africa, Cameroon, inclusive, you discover that these are no more topical issues. Democracy, security, human rights. Because now you discover the trend is that most citizens don't respect democracy again. They don't respect human rights again. What's happening in Niger, Mali, Burkina, is a trend. Central African Republic and the rest. Are these still, don't you think that there's a need for change in U.S., the way U.S. looks at these issues in Africa?
The U.S.
Cameroon is not excluded from the trend because the government may not have a position on it, but the population talks about it.
The U.S. government around the world, not just in Cameroon, not just in Africa, has been very, very clear and unwavering for decades about the importance we place on human rights. We have been very clear about that. Our positions are well known. There's really no need for me to repeat them at this time. We will continue to help foster environments where citizens can exercise all of their rights to the fullest. That is our goal.
Yes, that is good. But when I look at the Cameroonian, the citizen, the grassroots person, the issues of human rights are not really their problem. Because they don't first understand, the grassroots don't really understand issues of human rights. They are rather maybe interested in opportunities. But when you look at U.S. policy and U.S. activities in Cameroon, one gets away with the impression that the U.S. is more noisier than effective in promoting business, in promoting livelihood, especially because one finds very few U.S. companies in Cameroon compared to the other foreign countries.
So I'm going to have to take this as the last question. But let me try to answer parts of that many questions that you just basically put on the table. U.S. government policy and U.S. interests in Cameroon, as everywhere, are broad. You mentioned businesses. I cannot compel a U.S. business to come to Cameroon. I can help U.S. businesses identify opportunities that will allow them to contribute to Cameroon's economic growth, provide job opportunities for Cameroonians, etc. This is something that we want. Increasing bilateral trade and investment is one of our priorities as well, and we work on that. In terms of opportunities for livelihoods, I think it's important to bear in mind just how many Cameroonians study in the United States, how many Cameroonians participate in U.S. government-sponsored exchange programs, and all of those people who are getting that training, getting that experience in the United States and coming back and contributing to building your own country, that is something that may not be seen, it may not be as flashy as a big building that someone might build, but it is certainly valuable over the long term as those people who went to the States then come home and share that knowledge and they multiply that effect. I think the long-term effects of our engagement in that way will be paying dividends for a very long time.
Thank you very much, senior colleagues Chovers Low, Grace Chengwafo, Chris Buwe, and Kedembe Emmanuel Ngwani for building the interview. Hopefully, as Ambassador Christopher John Lamora puts it, all our hope is that peace returns to the embittered Northwest and Southwest regions as soon as possible, so that together we rebuild what has been destroyed. I am yours, Mokun Johnny Nelson. Accept my blessed regards.